One of our acharyas, Krishna Kshetprabhus, who teaches in Hong Kong University, said, how do you teach the Mahabharata in 50 minutes? He was asked to teach the Mahabharata in 50 minutes. I don't know the answer. But if he could have done it in 50 minutes, I think 5 days is quite something. So far, we are at the end of the Aranyaka Parva. In the Aranyaka Parva, we have the Pandavas in the forest. Several things unfolded there. And as was decided during the gambling match, the Pandavas had to spend 13 years in the forest and the 14th year in disguise. They decided to go to the kingdom of King Virat. Virat means great, big. Right? He was actually a big king, and he was very magnanimous. Yudhishthira Maharaj, during his stay at the forest, had become an expert at gambling. And when they decided what to do, they thought, let us disguise ourselves as, you know, like, as if we were never together and enter the service of King Virata. Yudhishthira said, I will take the name of Kanka. He said, and I will tell the king that I am a Brahmana who was close to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Somebody's Nokia. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Nokia? That is some nice background music. It works. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I will pretend to be a friend of Yudhishthira Maharaj and take up service in Virata's court. Bhimasen said, I will become Ballava. And said, I will become a cook. And you know, Bhima loves to eat. And Arjuna said, I will dress up as an eunuch. As a, you know what an eunuch is? Like a half man, half woman. Mm-hmm. What in India you call gopi beggars. Mm-hmm. Said, I will, and Arjuna, by the way, was an expert at teaching, at dancing. I mean, you don't expect a warrior to be dancing. But he said, my only problem is, by throwing arrows, I have wounded my arms, and there are marks on my arms. I don't know how to hide that. You know, when you throw arrows, your bowstring, you know, it cuts your arm. He said, both my arms, and Arjuna is ambidextrous. Ambidextrous, you know, ambidextrous? Means he is both hands, he can work with both hands. So he can write with both hands, he can throw bows with both hands, he can use both hands at the same time. Right? He said, he could throw arrows from either hand. He said, both my arms are bruised, but he was a little worried about that. He said, but I will manage. Nakula, who was an expert with horses, he said, I will take care of the stable. And Sahadeva said, I will take care of the cattle and the king's accounts. And one by one, they went separately to the king and said, you know, can we get service in your palace? And the king said, okay, fine. And Yudhishthira thus became the constant companion of the king. Right? Bhima became the cook. Arjun started teaching the king's girls how to dance. Nakula was a stableman. And Sahadeva is taking care of the cattle. Right? And there is another category of women, women servants called Sairandri. Sairandris are, you know, servants who are not good at everything, but they know specific tasks. Right? And Draupadi wanted to become one of them. And Draupadi said, I will take care of the king, of the queen of Virata, and I will mend her hair. She became a hairdresser. Mm. Right. And in this way, they began to pass a year in the kingdom of Virata. Now, King Virata had a commander-in-chief by the name of Kichaka. And Kichaka was a very dusty man. Right?
General.
Army general, yeah.
Army general.
Army general, Kichaka.
His brother-in-law.
Virata's wife had a brother called Kichaka. So, Virata's brother-in-law. And Kichaka had an eye on Draupadi. He always used to follow Draupadi around and, you know, look at her whereabouts. And one day he proposed to her and said, you know, I have many wives, but if you come to me, you will become the queen of all those wives. And I'll give you as many servants as you want to be. And Draupadi said, get away, I'm not interested. The next day he started following Draupadi. And Draupadi, you know, like, was disguised as a servant. And she began to scream and run, and, you know, she entered the court of King Virata. And Kichaka was behind her, like dragging her by her hair. Poor Draupadi. Always gets dragged by her hair. And as she entered the court, Bhima and Yudhishthira were seated there. But they could not do anything because they were in a guise. And Draupadi said, King, oh King, do something. And King said, you know, I haven't heard the other side of the story. I just, like, you know, it's justified for a Kshatriya man to propose any woman he likes. What's your problem? And she couldn't reveal her identity as the princess, because if she did, remember the terms of the vow, if they came out, she would have to go back, along with the Pandava brothers, back into the forest for 13 years again. It's a difficult situation. And she went and told Bhima that, Bhima, only you can help me with this. Please do something to Kichaka. You know, he is after my life, he wants me. Bhima said, but, you know, we are bound. What can we do? We are servants here. We are practically, you know, like, nobody. On the other hand, Draupadi's mistress, you know, she found out that her brother is interested in Draupadi. And she said, can you fetch wine from my brother's palace?
What is it? Draupadi's mistress?
Yeah, the Kichaka, Virata's wife. Uh-huh. Mistress in those is like, you know, master, feminine mistress.
But Draupadi's mistress?
Yeah. Draupadi's, the one who, I don't have the name here, I'm forgetting it, but Virata's wife, yeah, was Draupadi's mistress.
Okay.
Said, can you get some wine for me from Kichaka's palace? And Draupadi said, can't somebody else get it? Because, you know, she's working, you know, she's manipulating for her brother's favor. And Draupadi went to Kichaka and said, Kichaka, your sister is thirsty. I need some wine immediately. You know, she just wanted to get away from it. And Kichaka wouldn't let her go, right? Then Draupadi said, do it this way. There is this dancing hall where women dance. If you come and get me there, nobody will see me, and I can enjoy with you as much as you want. But I have Gandharva husbands. Beware of them. Kichaka said, I am such a powerful man, and, you know, these Gandharvas are nothing. We've seen Gandharvas. What can they do? They just, like, sing and dance around all day. I'll see them. I'll check them out. And this way, Draupadi said to Bhima, you know, Kichaka is trying to come and get me at the dancing hall early in the morning, be there. Bhima went to the dancing hall, dressed up as a woman, to get Kichaka. So when Kichaka went there, he was expecting Draupadi. Instead, he got a huge, ghastly looking man. Blind date. Bad idea.
Wasn't he fooled first?
Wasn't yes, fooled yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Touch or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said. It's like, you know, he was expecting Draupadi, but he found somebody else instead. And Bhima said, "You rascal, you know, you challenged me. What do you think of yourself?" And they began a big fight, and they were fighting for hours at end. And after a few hours of fighting, you know, Kichaka was turned into a ball of flesh. And Draupadi ran out of the dancing hall and says, come, Kichaka has been killed by some Gandharvas. And it's like, everybody came in, it's like, oh my God. And the Mahabharata describes that these people were saying, where is Kichaka's head? Where are his arms? Where are his legs? Because, you know, it's like, you know, just tied him and crumbled him, it's like, you know, crushed him like paneer. Thank God that lady isn't here. She gets very upset.
Yeah, I get a little bit upset too, actually. Stories like this, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, so it's okay.
Huh? And at the same time, when Kichaka was killed, there were Karna heard about it. He said, Kichaka killed? There must be something wrong. Let's send our spies in. Right? At the same time, Susharma, another king, he decided, but now is the time to attack the kingdom of Virata because they don't have an army general. Right? And they started attacking. And Uttara, the son of Virata, went to fight. But then they were, you know, he was a young boy and he didn't have a charioteer, right? And the king said, you know, get a charioteer fast. And then Brihadnara, who was Arjuna in disguise as in eunuch, said, I have been a charioteer for the famous Arjuna at one point. Will you let me drive your chariot? So he said, get in. And, you know, so this Arjuna dressed as a woman was driving the chariot. Such a scene. With Uttara sitting just like a little young boy, shaking, trembling. And his big, mighty, you know, warriors, Susharma, was like attacking them, trying to take their cows away.
It is Uttara.
Uttara and his sister is Uttara, who gets married to Abhimanyu. I'll come to that.
Okay, I forgot the same name.
No.
Uttara and Uttara.
Okay. Anyway, Uttara. So when he saw the big armies, he was so flabbergasted. He was so shaken. He thought, "This is too much." He just like dropped off the chariot and started running. And Arjun, in the dress of a woman, you know, the voice of a woman, say, hey, where are you coming? Come back. He said, Akshatri, I cannot run away like that from a battle. Come on, you're a prince. He said, no way, you know, I want to save my life first. You know, let them go to hell, let the cows go to hell. I don't mind if my father loses the battle. Right? And I said, wait. Come here. He said, you know, listen to me. He said, go up that tree, and there are some weapons, get them down for me. And this young boy went up the tree and actually found a host of weapons. And he said, wow, these weapons look really good. What are they? Arjun, you know, he just took up the bow and said, you know, this bow is to belong to Arjuna. You know, this is the Gandiva. I said, oh, really? Okay, wow. And meanwhile, you know, as you know, he was getting the weapons and stuff, Karna also found out that, you know, they are without an army general and came with his whole Kuru army to take Virata's cattle away. And, you know, and by this time, people kind of got the idea that the Pandavas are there in Virata's court. They kind of, you know, got an abhasa. But, so, while the Kurus, while Karna and the army was coming towards Virata's kingdom, you know, Arjuna had a fight with the Susharma and protected their cattle. But when King Virata heard that the Yuna, Brihannara, had been his son's charioteer, he thought, you know, that was the end, boom. His son was dead. Right? And Yudhishthira was consoling the king, said, "My dear king, don't worry, I know Brihannara. You know, he won't let your son down." And after some time, you know, Brihannara was back with his son, Uttara, and, you know, it's like, you know, going out of the city like a warrior, you know, like a joyous warrior, just back from a victorious battle. Right? And he was like, you know, he didn't even fight it. You know, it was completely Arjuna's initiative, but he came back like a hero. Meanwhile, Karna and Duryodhan and Drona, they all came. They also came to attack Virata. And they found out that the Pandavas have revealed their identity. Right? And Duryodhana and Karna started crying foul. He said, "What is this? You know, they have to go back to the forest again. They have lost their bet." But Bhishma said, "No. No. Every 13 years, there are some extra days. And these people haven't passed even that." So they have successfully covered 14 years in exile. Right? And when King Virata found out that... So the King Virata was kind of surprised, like, how can a woman who's, like, not even a woman, be my son's charioteer and win a battle? And Yudhishthira Maharaj was, you know, like always the king said, "But have you heard of the Pandavas?" He said, "Of course, the Pandavas, the great people." And, you know, like, the Kauravas tried to burn them down and Yudhishthira Maharaj lost in gambling and they had to be in the forest. "Yes, I heard about them." He said, "I am he. I am Yudhishthira." And he said, "No, no way. You, Yudhishthira? You're a great king." He said, "Yes, we had to spend 1 year in disguise." And Uttara said, "So where is Arjuna?" He said, "That's your charioteer, Arjuna." "I don't believe you." He said, and you know how he tested Arjuna? He said, "Tell me the 108 names of Arjuna." Anyway, that's a... And Arjuna started speaking, said, "I am also known as Jishnu, this, that." He said, "Oh, okay, okay." He said, "Where is Bhima?" He said, "There is Ballava, you know, cooking in your kitchen. He is Bhima." And then Nakula, the stable boy, and Sahadeva, the cowherd, they all came out. And Virata was overjoyed to have the Pandavas in his court, even without knowing. Right? And when they found out, Virata said, "I want to give my daughter, Uttara, in marriage to Arjuna." Right? And then he pleaded Arjuna, "Arjuna, please take my daughter as your wife." And Arjuna said, "Well, I have to decline you." He said, "Why?" He said, "You're such a qualified man and she's such a, you know, she's such a qualified lady. There's a problem." Then Arjun said, "But you see, for 1 year, I taught her dancing. And when I was teaching her how to dance, she used to come to me and confide in me. And we have developed a very intimate relationship. One, I was her guru. And number two, because she confided in me, I am like her father." He said, "Therefore, I think it behooves that Uttara gets married to my son, Abhimanyu." And thus, you know who came from Uttara and Abhimanyu? The great King Parikshit. And then King Virata celebrated the wedding of Uttara and Abhimanyu and the Pandavas, and Krishna Balaram came there, and the Pandavas gradually started speaking about how to get their kingdom back. Because remember, they were under this pact that for 14 years they will be in the forest, and while they are in the forest, the Kauravas will take care of their kingdom. Several kings came, several kings and princes came along with Krishna and Balaram to discuss what they should do after this. And King Virat said, no matter how much you try, I don't think the Kauravas are going to return the kingdom. At that point, Krishna said, Arjun, let's go to Dwarka. Okay. And while, you know, they were going there, they had a discussion about an impending war. Because Krishna said, I don't think they will give you a kingdom. And he said, even if you want 5 villages. They sent a Brahman from Virata's court to King Dhritarashtra. And there the other camps started their own gupshup and counseling. And Vidura told Dhritarashtra, you know, if you give the Pandavas 5 villages, I think they will be peaceful. Dhritarashtra said, I understand, but who is going to explain to my wicked son? He doesn't want to part with anything. And Duryodhan said, why do you keep on, you know, thinking of giving away everything to the Pandavas? Don't you know, and listen to this very carefully, don't you know that dissatisfaction is the root of progress? This is what Duryodhan said. He said, dissatisfaction is the root of progress. The more dissatisfied you are, the more you shall want and the more you shall progress. Think about capitalism. This was happening 5,000 years back, and you know, he had the philosophy perfectly right. And I was speaking today morning about commercials, and the other thing I realized during the day is that all the commercials that we see keep on reminding us how imperfect we are, how bad we are, how nasty we are. The moment we look at a shampoo commercial with a model with, you know, the best hair on earth, we realize how bad our hair is. Right? And the moment we see somebody with the best car, we think the best car, we realize how broken and shattered, you know, tattered my car is. Right? And the whole drive of modern economics is to get us somehow dissatisfied. And this precisely was the philosophy of Duryodhan. We should forever be dissatisfied. The more dissatisfied we are, the more progress we shall make. Dhritarashtra, you know, however said, let's give them, you know, let's have a peace pact with the Pandavas. And he sent Sanjaya to the Pandava camp. When Sanjaya came to speak to the Pandavas, Krishna took hold of Sanjaya. He said, before you give your peace message, let me tell you one thing. The Pandavas have suffered like anything because of their mean-mindedness. Their mean mind. Mean-mindedness, isn't it?
Okay.
I shall personally go there to negotiate. The Pandavas should get more than just 5 villages. And then Krishna came back with Sanjaya to the court of Dhritarashtra. And when Shakuni and Karna and Duryodhana heard that Krishna was coming, he thought, Karna said, you know, there is no way we can, if we can somehow separate Krishna from the Pandavas, no, we got them. Somehow. But Shakuni said, you can never separate Krishna from Pandavas. You know, he will always stick to them. What shall we do? Duryodhana said, idea. Let us arrest Krishna the moment he comes here. You know, in this way we'll capture Krishna, that means we'll take away the brain of the Pandavas and then we'll get them. Without Krishna they are nothing. So as Krishna came to Hastinapur, you know, they were sitting in the court of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra welcomed Krishna. Krishna offered obeisances to Bhishma and other seniors, and Kunti embraced Krishna and she kind of washed Krishna with her tears. And then Krishna said, but I have come for an Udyoga. And this section of the Mahabharata is called Udyoga Parvan. Udyoga means an effort. He said, I have come to make an effort so that the war between the brothers can be averted. Right? And Krishna started saying, you know, when they have fulfilled their vows, they have fulfilled the promise, and you have enjoyed the kingdom for 14 years, give them back what is rightfully theirs. Right? They said, 5 villages? Huh. He put a pin on the ground, he said, I wouldn't even give them that without a war. You know, like a land, how much land can a pin hold? I just push a pin in and the dot there. He said, I wouldn't even give a land like that. Huh? And then when Krishna started giving them good counsel, Duryodhan took the opportunity to arrest Krishna. And when he tried to arrest Krishna, Krishna said, Bhishma said, you don't know what you're doing. He said, Arjuna and Krishna is not a Narayan themselves. They are the primeval lords. You cannot ever win them in battle. And Krishna said, you don't know what you're doing. And out of Krishna's body started emanating demigods and gods like as brilliant as the sun. And they were completely baffled. Krishna actually showed his Vishwarupa right in the court of Dhritarashtra.
Wasn't Krishna laughing?
Krishna was also laughing, yeah. Yeah, when they tried to arrest Krishna, Krishna was like just having fun.
They tried to Duryodhana Bandhamuji, like when they tried to catch Krishna, there had been ropes and Krishna
which,
disappeared from that place.
Which Hindi poem did you get it from?
From Harisingh Dimkar.
Yeah, he has been reading a famous Hindi poet. Anyway, right? And it is said that even Dhritarashtra, you know, he was, you know, at that moment he was so bewildered and he was, you know, he felt that he was so wrong. He said, Krishna, I have sinned all my life. Give me, just fulfill one desire. I want to see your form. And Krishna said, Tathastu. That was the only time in his life that Dhritarashtra actually saw with his eyes. Right? He could only see Krishna, nothing else. And then Krishna walked out of the court. And when this was over, you know, the characteristic of the Pandava camp was, no matter how much difference they had, they would keep sticking together. And the characteristic of the Kaurava camp was, no matter how much interest they had in each other, they would keep on fighting. And then Karna and Bhishma started fighting with each other. And at one point Karna said, I will see you only in the court, but never in a battlefield. Which meant, if Karna was fighting, Bhishma wouldn't fight. If Bhishma was fighting, Karna wouldn't fight. Right? That was, you know, that's the level their friendship got to. At a certain point, when both parties started gathering the armies, there was one king called Salya. You know, and Salya came to fight with the Pandava camp. And mind you, the battle of Kurukshetra was, I believe, way greater than the battle of the Trojans. Way greater than anything else. It's like the biggest battle on earth in 100,000 years. And Mahabharata mentions that people from all over the world came to take part in the battle. You have descriptions of people from Roma. You know where Roma is? Rome?
Italy.
There are people from Roma. You have people from Skanda.
Yeah.
Laos, Cambodia.
Yeah.
It mentions Cambodia.
Yeah, it mentions Mahabharata, mentions Khandadesha.
Really? Some Vikings. Original Vikings.
And then there were Kashas. Do you know where the Kashas are from?
Chinese.
Chinese.
Yes.
And then Southeast Asia, from Cambodia, from Lanka, from everywhere. The Ionians came. The Ionians, the Greeks. The Ionians are called the Yavanas in Sanskrit. Everybody started taking sides, and it was the greatest battle of a lifetime. It was a glorious battle. It was. And I'll come to the reason tomorrow. Or maybe today. Depending on how am I doing with time. That reminds me. There's something called time. And Balaram was very upset that there was going to be a battle, after all. So at the beginning of the battle, Balaram left for a pilgrimage tour. And Salya, when he was approaching Hastinapur to join the Pandavas, he was taken care of by people on the road, on the way. And it was, like five-star treatment. And Salya was so happy, he thought the Pandavas had arranged that thing for him. So when he met Duryodhan, he thought he was one with the Pandavas. He says, like somebody in the Pandava camp. And he said, Pandavas have taken care of me so nicely. He said, the Kurus have taken care of me so nicely. Because the Pandavas are also Kurus. And he said, ask whatever you want. And Duryodhan said, I just want your friendship. He said, what does that mean? What does this at Tathastu? What does that mean? Which means you have to fight on my side in the battle. And Salya was in a fix because he was about to support Yudhishthira. So he went to King Yudhishthira and said, I made a big mistake. I was supposed to be with you, but somehow, I was like so absorbed by the pleasures I met on the way, I didn't even realize that Duryodhan arranged that, and I promised him I'm going to fight with him. Right? And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, if you have given your word, you should go with them. Now that is dharma. And now, remember Krishna was going to Dwarka? I mentioned right now. Krishna had announced that since I am close to both the Pandavas and the Kauravas, I will give them an option of either choosing me or choosing my army, the Narayani Sena. And Duryodhan set forth for Dwarka, and so did Arjun. Right, and both of them reached, and when they reached, Krishna was sleeping. Right, and this episode kind of reflects on the inner mood of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and why one party lost, why the other party won. Mm-hmm. When Duryodhan came there first, and he thought, "Oh, Krishna is sleeping. Maybe I should wait here." And he sat down, and where he sat? So if Krishna was lying like this, Duryodhan sat towards the head. He thought, I am a king. Why should I... And Krishna is just a small prince. Because Krishna always liked relegating royalty to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna always accepted Yudhishthira as the main king. He said, I am a sub-king. He said, he's a small king. Why should I sit close to his feet? So he sat near the head. And then Arjuna came. And Arjuna thought, I would have sat near the feet anyway. He's such a dear friend, right? And humility and love is the basis of friendship. I mean, we all have friends, don't we? Right? And there are so many times our friends wrong us. And if we fight back, they're not our friends anymore. But if we take the opportunity to be humble and speak out our heart, that takes friendship further. Right? Right? So Arjuna thought, let me sit at Krishna's feet. And as Krishna woke up, Krishna said, oh, both of you have come. Welcome, welcome, welcome. He said, now, since I saw Arjuna first, as he was sitting close to my feet, I will give him the first option of either choosing me or my army. And Duryodhana said, this is wrong. This is wrong. I came here first. I'm the older one. You know, come on, Krishna. And Krishna said, no, I saw him first. And Duryodhana, you know, his heart started beating fast. He says, I did the greatest mistake of my life. I should have sat there. You know, I should have got the army. And Arjuna said, and Krishna said, Arjuna, what do you want? Arjuna said, I do not want anything except for you. Krishna said, but don't talk like a fool. This, you know, don't be sentimental. This is a war. You need armies in a war. You don't need a friend. Arjuna said, you mean the world to me. Let the army go to the other side. Krishna said, don't be a fool. Choose the army. You know, they are the best trained army in the entire world. And Arjuna refused. And as Arjuna was speaking like this, Duryodhana felt that, oh my God, such a fool. They're good for me. You know, he can have Krishna. And then Krishna said, Arjuna, but mind you, in the battle, you want to sit on the chair?
No.
In the battle, I won't even fight with you. I'll be your charioteer. Right? I have taken the vow that I won't pick up a weapon. Arjuna said, that doesn't matter. Having you close to me will fulfill all that I need. And therefore, Duryodhana took the Narayani Sena, 100,000, or more, I guess, right? Narayani Sena was way more. And Arjuna took Krishna. Apparently, a useless charioteer. And in this way, different kings and princes sided on each side. And it was decided that around a little before than Christmas, of course, a battle would be fought at Kurukshetra. Now, that whole area, you know, had a lot of Kuru names, like the Tirtha was called Kurukshetra, the city was called Hastinapur, but Kuru Rajya, and there was a jungle around it called Kuru Jangala, right? So that's like Kuru Kingdom. And as the armies came together, of course you all know this, but still. As the armies came together, Arjuna said, Krishna, are you sure we should do this? I think not. Krishna said, what happened? He said, don't you see? They are my teachers, my family, my brothers, my grandfather. They are my cohorts, the people I grew up with. How can I kill them? Can I at least go and have a look at the people I'm killing? Are I supposed to kill them? Krishna drove the chariot in the middle of the battlefield. Now some people say that how could Krishna speak the entire Bhagavad Gita on a battlefield? Right? It takes about 1.5 hours to recite the Bhagavad Gita. Do you think people waited that long? How is it possible? But think about it. It's such a charged moment. Brothers against brothers. Father-in-laws against son-in-laws. Friends against friends. Teachers against students, right? And if Arjuna comes to the middle of the battlefield, giving up his arms, it is a practical victory for the other side. Right? Wouldn't they wait to see the outcome? Whether Arjuna finally... We'll come to question answers. Whether Arjuna finally fights or not? Wouldn't they, at the verge of a mass slaughter, would think, of a possibility of whether the battle can be averted at the last moment. And at that point, Krishna started speaking, Arjun, kuthastakasmalamidam. Why are you talking like a madman? And he explained the whole Bhagavad Gita. I won't get into the Bhagavad Gita. There are other books. There are hundreds and thousands of copies around. You should read them. And at the end, you know, Krishna somehow explained that there are various processes of doing things. Don't think you're doing this battle for yourself. Right? Do it as a service unto me. Right? And Arjuna was having doubts, like, why for you? Like, what's the use? And then Krishna showed his Vishwarupa, his universal form. He said, see, all the warriors you will kill are actually destroyed by me alone. And Arjuna saw that Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Karna, everybody was rushing into the mouths of Krishna in his universal form. Right at the end, Arjuna said, my doubt has been dispelled. I shall do what you want. And thus the battle began. Right. I won't get into the details of the battle, but an emotional exchange happened right before the battle, which is very important. Imagine, because this is dharma, that the eldest son of the family has to become the king. Right? So before Krishna left Hastinapur, Krishna came to Karna. He said, Karna, you don't know the secret of your birth. He said, you were born from Kunti and you are the eldest of the Pandavas. Karna said, oh really? He said, you know, today if you go out and say that you are their brother, Yudhishthira Maharaj will gladly give his kingdom up and avert this battle. You're the king. You can become the king. You can have it all. You and Duryodhan can rule. Just tell them. And, you know, keep and maintain them. Yudhishthira will be happy. But Karna said, why are you telling this to me now? I have already committed to Duryodhan that I'm going to kill Arjun. And it is my personal grudge against that man. I won't turn away from battle. And then Kunti personally came to Karna and said, Karna, I'm sorry. You know, I was a young girl. I was a maiden. I had no idea what I was doing. You are my son. Karna said, for these many years, even after Pandu died, you never thought about me even once. I was brought up by Atiratha and Radha and I am their child. I do not know you. Go away from here. And thus, the fate of the battle was fixed. Right. And several interesting things happened in the battle. I'll just mention a couple of them. Or a few. At one point, the Kauravas were on the verge of winning. Just there. When Krishna took a chariot wheel and ran to kill Bhishma. And you know what Bhishma did? He said, this is the opportunity. He just got off from his chariot and just knelt down and said, Krishna, kill me. And mind you, in the first day we discussed that Bhishma has Ichchamrityu, which means he can decide when he wants to die because he had taken such a great vow. He was blessed by his father. You can say, well, Krishna promised that he won't take up any weapons. Why did he try to kill Bhishma like that? Because while during the war, when Bhishma was the army general, Duryodhan kept on telling him, you are their grandfather and in a battle, nobody is a grandfather, nobody is a grandson. Please give up your sentiments for Arjuna. Right? And Bhishma said, tomorrow I shall kill Arjuna. He was so devastated by Duryodhana's speech that it's decided, I'm going to give Arjuna a big fight. Right? And tomorrow, I shall also make Krishna break his vow. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Kaunteya pratijanihi nāme bhakta pranashati. Hey Kaunteya, declare to the whole world that my devotee is never perishes. Think for a moment. Why would Krishna say, Kaunteya, you declare? Why wouldn't Krishna himself declare? Why wouldn't Krishna himself declare? Because Krishna, from time to time, breaks his own vows. But Krishna can never break the vows of his devotees. Therefore, because he gives 100% assurance that he will protect his devotees, he makes his devotee promise that they will never, my devotees will never perish. So therefore, although Krishna had taken a vow that, he will not take up weapons, because Bhishma is his devotee and Bhishma took the vow that I will make Krishna take up weapons, Krishna had to break his own vow. But Krishna is very intelligent. He is known as Aghatana Ghatana Patiyashi. Patu means an expert. Aghatana means a bad situation and Ghatana means a good situation. Krishna is an expert at turning bad situations to good situations. Can you say the chariot wheel is a weapon? The chariot wheel is not a weapon. But he picked it up and just ran as if it is a weapon. So in this way, he maintained his vow, he maintained Arjuna's vow, and he maintained Bhishma's vow. Right? Krishna can do one thing and it can mean several things at the same time. And that's why Prabhupada says that Krishna is the absolute truth. Whatever is connected to Krishna is also absolute truth. And there are innumerable, unlimited angles by which you can view the absolute truth. Right? The other incident is the killing.
Isn't it that the song went down exactly?
That was another bell.
Before it reached the green song,
that was another bell. Uh-huh. When Krishna covered up his son, or there was an eclipse, or whatever you want to put it. There was another day. They were on the verge of losing, right? Not just on the verge of losing, and this is Krishna's method of working with his devotees. He will push you to the brink just the moment when you fall. He will catch you from behind. He likes playing with his devotees. And as they were losing, Bhima came up to the Pandavas and said, the only way we can destroy the morale of the Kauravas if we somehow stop Drona. The teacher. Drona was killing their armies like mad. And Bhima said, I have an idea. Let's go and tell Drona that his son is dead. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, that is not a good idea. Yudhishthira is known as Satyavadi, the holder of, the supporter of truth. And Bhima said, okay, hold on. He just went outside and he killed an elephant by the name of Ashwatthaman. And he came back and said, well, Ashwatthaman said, just go and tell Drona. He said, no, still a bad idea. He said, okay, I'll do it. So the Pandavas all went to Drona and said, my dear Drona, Ashwatthaman is dead. And Ashwatthaman is the son of Drona, and Ashwatthaman was so dear to Drona, more dear than his own life. Right? And Drona said, I don't believe you. Ashwatthama killed by you? Come on. And he said, really? Ashwatthaman is dead? And then Drona said, only if Yudhishthir tells me, confirms that Ashwatthaman is dead, well, I believe he is really dead. Because Yudhishthira never lies. Yudhishthira, is Ashwatthaman dead? And Yudhishthira was like, he's never lied. And Krishna said, say it. And he said, Ashwatthaman hata iti gaja. And you know, in Sanskrit, the word iti stands for inverted commas. You know, like, you don't have inverted commas in Sanskrit. So, you say, Abhishek iti, this means Abhishek, inverted commas, in inverted commas. That's how you say it.
Like parentheses?
No, not parentheses. Inverted
apostrophes.
You like, you know, when you quote somebody, you put these two commas, like quote, unquote. So I say, Tapas Prabhu asked me to bring some water. I would say, Tapas Prabhu asked me to bring some water, iti. Tapas Prabhu, bring some water, iti. So that's what Tapas Prabhu said. So he said, iti gaja. He said, elephant, iti. Ashwatthaman hata. He said, Ashwatthaman is dead. And then he silently said, iti gaja. He said, Ashwatthaman, the elephant, is dead. And Dronacharya's morale was completely broken.
I heard a different version.
Huh?
I heard a different version.
From your Hindi poem?
No.
No, I heard that there was a sound came. They couldn't hear the elephant. Some other sound came in and
Mahabharata, the text actually quotes this, that, you know, he said, it got you
silent.
Very softly.
Krishna started blowing the conch when he said, Narma hi kunjar.
That was
man, not elephant. And then he blew the conch. The elephant. He couldn't hear.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And Ashwatthaman is dead. And our Acharyas explain, our Mahabharata, the text says, that Yudhishthira Maharaj was an expert at driving chariots while waging war. And his chariot would be about a feet over the ground. Right? His chariot was swift like the wind. And after he said that lie, he lost the luster on his face. And his chariot was heavy, it touched the ground, it dragged on the ground. And our acharyas explain, you know why? They explain that it is not because Yudhishthira lied that he suffered these consequences, but because he refused to listen to Krishna, that his chariot actually dropped on the ground and he lost all his luster. And then there is the story of Abhimanyu, and it's very important to us because it presupposes the history of King Parikshit. So when Abhimanyu was in the womb of Subhadra, Arjuna's wife, one day Arjuna was explaining to Subhadra how to fight wars and the different kinds of wars. And there is a side of a phalanx, you know, like the way of arranging the army, called Chakra Vyuha, right? A circular, like a shell type thing. And when Arjuna was explaining the Chakra Vyuha to Subhadra, right, Abhimanyu was learning from the womb. But somehow, in the middle of the process, he fell asleep. Subhadra fell asleep. So Arjuna stopped speaking. And on the day of the battle, when all the Pandavas were gone and Abhimanyu was in the camp, Drona, Karna, Duryodhan, they formed a Chakra Vyuha and they started approaching the Pandava camp to kill them. And Abhimanyu said, you know, only I know how to crack this. Right? He was a boy of 14 years. And he fought like a warrior, a brave warrior. And he went inside the phalanx and he started fighting like anything, and then Drona, Kripa, Karna, they all, the big kings, they got together and killed Abhimanyu. Right? And this enraged Arjuna. I shall kill these people. And you know how Karna was killed? Remember the story I told about Karna's kavacha and earrings? So one day, as Karna and Arjuna started to fight, Karna's wheel was stuck in mud. Right? And Karna said, stop the battle for a moment. Let me pull my wheel up. It is adharma to attack somebody when he is not attacking your back. Right? And Arjuna said, okay. And he sat there for Karna to bring his wheel out. And Krishna started telling Arjuna, dear Arjuna, was it dharma when Karna called your wife a prostitute? She was dragged, Draupadi was dragged in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a court. Was that dharma? Was it dharma when the Kauravas got Purochana to burn down your house at Varnavata? Was it dharma when Duryodhan got Shakuni to play for you the game of dice? Was it dharma that they attacked you when you did not attack them back? What are you waiting for? Was it dharma that Draupadi was insulted again and again in different situations, and such an exalted soul like Kunti was subjected to so much pain? Was it dharma? Kill him, Arjuna. And hearing Krishna's words, while Karna was bringing his chariot wheel up and trying to remember the mantra that he learned from Parashuram to use against Arjuna, remember the curse he had lied the light to his guru? He forgot the mantra. He's like, you know, it's like this story, open sesame, and then everything else came in his head except the right mantra. Everything else came in Karna's head except the right mantra. And Arjuna took the arrow and released it and severed Karna's head. And thus Karna went down like a setting sun. Right. And one by one, all the big heroes of the Kaurava camp died. But Bhishma had a fight with Arjuna one day. Before that, right? Before Karna's. And Bhishma was terrible in battle. That's why he is known as Bhishma. Bhishma was like, horrendous. But Bhishma had a weak point. Remember, Bhishma had kidnapped Amba from Kashi? And Amba said, because you have separated me from my lover, one day I will take revenge on you. Amba got the blessings of a sage, and she could change her form into a woman or a man. And she joined the battle as a king called Shikhandin. Right. And Arjuna said, I will fight with Bhishma, and Krishna gave the counsel, but put Shikhandin in the middle. So hit Bhishma going on either side. And then Bhishma and Arjuna started shooting Bhishma, but Bhishma never shot back properly because he considered Shikhandin a woman. Right? And in this way, Bhishma was gradually pierced with arrows. And he fell down. Right? But as he was a great Mahatma, it is explained, his body did not touch the ground. And when the Pandavas and the Kauravas, everybody came together to see the fall of Bhishma, Bhishma said, and listen to this, Bhishma said, get me water. I'm thirsty. Duryodhana immediately arranged for water which was perfumed and which was like very luxurious, and Bhishma said, no. Get me the water I need. And Arjun shot an arrow in the ground, and Mother Ganga personally came out to quench Bhishma's thirst. He said, I need pillows. And Arjun shot arrows and made a pillow from arrows. And Bhishma lay on that and waited for the time to depart, for an auspicious time to depart. In this way, towards the end of the battle, right, Duryodhan was left, and Duryodhan did not give up. And Duryodhan, after one by one his generals and army, everything was lost, he rested inside a pond. He basically hid away. And the Pandavas came with Bhima and said, Duryodhan, come out. Don't hide. Right? And eventually he was provoked to war with Bhima, and the war went on for a long time. Towards the end of the battle, right, Bhima found out that he is losing. Because anywhere he struck on Duryodhana's body was like iron. He couldn't hurt Duryodhana. And on the other hand, he was like practically plastered all over. Because there is a secret to this. Gandhari, who had not seen for years and years and years because of her husband, told Duryodhan that, come to me the way, because I have never seen you before, I don't know how you look, you're my own son. Come to me the way you would come as a newborn child. And take a bath and come. And it was night, and Duryodhan was like, you know, he took a bath and he was like going to his mother butt naked. And Krishna saw Duryodhan on the way, said, Maharaj, why are you naked? I've never seen you like this before. Duryodhan said, my mother told me I should go to her naked, like as if I was newborn. He said, that is okay. You know, she has motherly affection for you, but you're not newborn anymore. You know, several years have passed between. What about covering at least your private parts? Duryodhan said, very good idea. You know, I'm not newborn anymore. So he covered his hips and his thigh parts with leaves, and he went to his mother. And when Gandhari opened her eyes, it's just by the power of her vision, the entire body of Duryodhan was protected by a kavacha. But, except for the portions he covered with those leaves. So when they were fighting in the battle, no matter where Bhima struck, Duryodhan would not be hurt. But only Krishna knew that secret. So Krishna began reminding Bhima and pointing to his thigh. Right? And Bhima remembered that on the day Draupadi was dragged into the court of Hastinapur, right, and Duryodhan bared his leg and said, ask Draupadi to sit down on it. He promised that one day I'm going to break that leg. And Duryodhan struck him there with a club. Bhima struck Duryodhan there with a club. Right? And Duryodhan fell down. Ashwatthama, who was still alive, came and saw the piteous condition of Duryodhan. Right? And decided, this is not right. So he went to the Pandava camp, and while all the Pandava princes were sleeping, he slaughtered them and burnt their camp. And came and told Duryodhan, you know, they were sleeping and I killed them. Duryodhan was unhappy. He said, this is not right. Anyway, we'll stop here today. We'll continue the rest of the battle and the last book of the Mahabharata tomorrow. Meanwhile, if you have any questions, comments, corrections, points to make.
Shikhandi.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And that's how Bhishma knew that. He said, I know these arrows with a certain tip, they are coming from Shikhandi and I cannot retaliate.
When Krishna taught Bhagavad-gita on the middle of the... Wasn't the armies just waiting for their...
Yes.
Conscious?
Yes.
So it was kind of a calm before the storm.
Yes. You just take a deep breath situation.
So it could take some time.
Yes.
I found it interesting that, that Krishna, you know, is actually ordering sometimes immoral activities.
I'll come to that tomorrow.
And, but, as in this case, when he said you kill Karna when he is done with fixing the wheel. But he does that when those persons had that karma. You know, it's saying wrong. You know, he shot Bali. You know, and Bali complained, oh yeah, you know, you can't shoot somebody from behind. You know, this is, you know. But then he said, yeah, well, what did you do? You kidnapped your brother's wife. You stole, you abducted your brother's wife, and you did this and you did that. You know, and then Bali said, yeah, okay, he was kind of.
Peaceful.
He was peaceful because. So. Because there is a tendency of people not to become God conscious that they want to put God under the laws of morality. And then they judge God. You know, but He is the judge. He is above the morality. And when somebody has that karma, then He can order an immoral activity.
What apparently looks immoral to us, yeah. But just befits their karma.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so somebody must be that judge who gives that.
You know. A very valid philosophical point.
There was a reason. The story also why the Karna's wheels get stuck in the mud.
Yeah. But to cover all that, I'll have to stay here for 1 year.
Yeah,
I skipped many stories. None of them went.
Yeah, when you are unjust, you will get injustice. I mean, and God orders that.
Unjust. It's a simple thing. What goes around comes around.
Yeah. So, it's just. It just struck me when because, you know, Krishna, he, here in Bharata and in Rama, the same thing. Yeah,
but was it, you know, what did you do? And therefore,
you know, it goes like this.
Cool. Anything else? Points?
Yeah, I have a
lot.
Comment. No, this. I studied once upon a time that Duryodhan said, no, he didn't say there is a kind of. What do you say that? Thing in the air that it goes that the king, when he's in the power, he writes the history books. He orders the books to be written under the way he wants.
That's a general theory of history. That and there is a subject called historiography. Historiography is the method for writing history. And that says people who are in power claim history. The history that we hear today are actually the version of people who were in power. And therefore, that's why there is a whole movement in historical studies called subaltern history, which means history from the perspective of the repressed. A very valid point. But I don't... You have to give me the reference where Duryodhan says it. Sometimes.
We were there in a story about Mahabharata ki ek sanj. It was the point of the author actually.
Yeah. That sounds more rational.
That you made the history to be written the way you, the kings wanted. So,
well,
I will be known in the history.
Just complicating your suggestion further, there can be a case made against these people that they were not interested. The people like Vyasdeva, for example, was not interested in chronological history because he kind of messes up chronology all the time. And same with Krishnadas Kaviraj and Vrindavandas Thakur and others. What we can say is, yes, you know, what is the use of recording things in time unless we get some value out of it? So our argument is, our history is value-based history, not chronological history. So when we study history, we study Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, we don't care when they came, but their incidents provide value in our lives. Right? There can be many kinds of histories. There can be oral history. Like, if you, after 10 years, if you go and tell somebody, I was in Brahmakund in 2008, and I was hearing Mahabharata Katha, that's oral history. Right? There can be linear histories, circular histories, so many kinds of histories. But Shastric history is more value-based. And there is a general frame of chronology, like Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali and the 14 Manus and so on and so forth. There is a chronology, but we are more interested in the value of the history, in the value of the stories themselves. You have something to say?
No, I just think it's fascinating to see how these historical stories somehow mirrors psychological and practical aspects in life, in daily life, and how these stories somehow give solutions, how to get through or how to make it wiser or whatever. I mean, it might just be me, but it's very interesting to see.
Thank you.
Very good storyteller.
I'm just a storyteller.
Yeah, but I mean, you're very good at it.